Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Nonprofit U, a forum where nonprofit stakeholders can share lessons learned and discuss the latest developments in the industry. My name is Valerie Leonard, and I'm your host for the day. I'm a consultant to nonprofits, and I specialize in community and organizational development. I work with nonprofit organizations to help them make a stronger impact to their clients and communities, and you can find Nonprofit U on Facebook and Twitter. I encourage you to comment early and often using the hashtags Nonprofit U, Sunshine Enterprises, Let the Sunshine In, or Small Business Development. You can also leave comments on blogtalkradio.com/nonprofitu. The chat room is open, and you can post comments and questions. In order to use the chat room, you must open a listener-only account. You'll find a link to open the account on the episode page, and you can also email me at consulting@valeriefleonard.com or send messages through Facebook and Twitter. You'll find a Nonprofit U fan page on Facebook, and the Twitter account is @NonprofitU. We'll be taking questions probably a little bit earlier than normal. We're still waiting for our guest to join us, and he should be joining us momentarily. We're going to be talking about some of the work that Shelby has been doing since we last spoke here on the show. In fact, Shelby has just joined us, and I just want to talk a little bit about today's episode. Today's episode is Giving to Get, Investing in Nonprofit Success. We'll follow up on what Shelby has been doing over the past several months since he was last on the show. I believe he was with us in July of 2015. Not only will we look at some of Sunshine Enterprises' success stories, but Shelby will share lessons learned from his work in the entrepreneurial trenches. He'll talk a lot about debunking some of the myths and strongly held beliefs that we have. And he'll discuss ways that nonprofits can think outside the box and how they can invest their time and resources to reap maximum rewards. And these lessons also go for small business owners. Finally, Shelby will discuss ways nonprofits can add value to existing models. Again, we encourage you to call in with questions and to participate in live chats at the 20-minute mark. The call-in number is 347-884-8121. Nonprofit professionals, small business owners, and educators are especially encouraged to call in and share some of your war stories and strategies. This is going to be a really, really interesting discussion. Let me give you a little bit of information about Shelby. Shelby is the Director of Programs for Sunshine Enterprises. Some of you may have met him, may have grown up with him, and you may have listened to him when he was on our podcast back in July. Sunshine Enterprises is the entrepreneurship training arm of Sunshine Gospel Ministries, and Shelby's responsible for nurturing entrepreneurs in low-income Chicagoland communities. Shelby is a serial entrepreneur who has started many successful small businesses, including BHK Laboratories, Inc., and the Functional Beverage Group, Inc. Shelby has taught many entrepreneurs how to start and grow small businesses, and he's been a featured speaker at workshops sponsored by the City's Treasurer's Office and the City of Chicago Office of Business Affairs and Consumer Protection. Just recently, his work was featured in the Chicago Tribune's Blue Sky Innovation section, 6 Ways to Make Sure You Don't Tank Your Business Plan. He's recently worked as the Manager of Financial Services for the Duman Entrepreneurship Center, where he assisted clients in securing microloans. So, Shelby, before we get started, can you tell us a little bit about Sunshine Enterprises and how you got involved with them?
Sure, Valerie. Hello, and first of all, I just want to say congratulations on the wonderful conference over in North Lawndale. I attended, and I had a great time, and I was so inspired.
Thank you.
You know, we're going to talk about that a little later, but just to give you a quick overview of Sunshine Enterprises, We are based on the South Side in Woodlawn community with the goal of developing businesses in low-income communities in the Chicago area. And we've been doing this, at least I've been doing it with Sunshine, for about a little over 2 years now, and Sunshine's been doing it for about 2.5 years. And we also now have a branch in Evanston where we have one cohort going there, and we have about 25 students. And our next goal is to conquer the West Side, let's say, because that's the only area I feel that we haven't conquered, and there's a lot of work that needs to be done there. And I came to Sunshine through a acquaintance of mine, Jim Perry, who is part of the founder of Madison Dearborn Partners, and he has a vision to bring more businesses to low-income communities in the South Side. So he's a private equity guy, deals with, you know, multi-million-dollar companies, but he also has an interest in developing small businesses in the Chicago area.
Oh, awesome.
And you want some of my latest accomplishments. I think the biggest one is that the city of Evanston approached us and asked us if we could run our community business academy up there, and they gave us a $150,000 grant this year to do so. So that's how we got into the city of Evanston and doing training there.
Oh, that is awesome. And first of all, I want to say that North Rondell is just waiting to be conquered. We need you. We need you big time. And congratulations on expanding to Evanston. I'm sure that was no small feat. And I know that typically you use the rising tide model. Okay, and that's a tried and proven model that's shown significant success, but even still, you've had to make modifications based on, you know, the market that you're in. You know, I can imagine that the things you have to do for the South Side are a little bit different from Evanston and vice versa. Can you some of that?
Yeah, sure. And that's one of the things that I think is making our program successful. And that, you know, when you get to different areas, there are different cultures, there are different attitudes, there are different thought processes. And in order to make our program successful, I felt that we could use the Rising Tide curriculum and their basic model of training. However, there is another model of engaging the community. And, you know, you can't really transfer that across the country. And so what I've done is I've looked at the needs of the individuals in the area. And just even from one standpoint, it's like, say, in New Jersey, there's a more diverse culture of people. You have African Americans, but a lot of them are, you know, sons and daughters of immigrants, which they have a different attitude about how they approach things. Whereas when you get to the South Side of Chicago, the West Side of Chicago, there's a different way that people approach things. And so I had to modify the programs and the way we recruit people and the way we train people to make sure that we touched on those things that were important to the people in our community. And we've been very successful in doing that. One of them is that I've added a huge credit component to it. Most of the people in our community, they don't have great credit scores. Most of the people come to our program, their credit score is in the 450 to 550 range. And that makes it very difficult for them to get access to capital. And the Rising Tide model was basically go through 12 weeks of training, and then they do an action plan. If credit one of the things that you need, then we'll start working on your credit. Well, what I do is everyone, after week two, everyone has to pull their credit report, bring it to me, we review it, and we start working on the credit immediately as opposed to waiting 12 weeks, because there are so many things that you can accomplish in that 12 weeks' time. So when they're finished with the course, they can have a better chance of getting loans and funding for their businesses, and that's really the obstacle that's in the way of most of the people in our community.
That is really innovative. So basically, you're doing last things first. This is one time where it pays to do things backwards, right?
Right, exactly. But knowing that the issue's there, you have to start working on it right away because it really takes time to rebuild credit. And so if we're waiting 12 weeks, you know, which is 3 months, that 3 months of, you know, no activity done to enhance the credit score, and it's really important from many standpoints, not just access to capital.
Mm-hmm. So basically what you've done is managed to save time, you know, by
yes.
putting that on the front end.
Yes,
so
and also
going on. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I was just going to say, it's like that gives them, that puts them in business a lot quicker. That's 3 months that they can get in business, a lot, you know, quicker than you know, they would have under the old model.
Right, and then sometimes it's hard to maintain the momentum. You know, if they'd gone through 12 weeks and then they spent 90 days working on their credit, chances are, you know, they could get discouraged during that time. But if they're engaged in working on their business and working on their credit stuff, somehow it doesn't seem to be as big of an issue, I would imagine.
Yes, you're exactly right.
Okay, so also since we last spoke, Sunshine Enterprises has expanded your city-funded programs and services. You received a grant from the City of Chicago to operate a Small Business Opportunity Center. And then I understand from other conversations that, you know, you were really doing a lot of that work, you know, for free. So can you share with us, you know, your experience with the city?
Sure. So about a year or so ago, the mayor came by and they had a really big to-do. They bought the media and they talked about these new small business opportunity centers where neighborhood businesses will help neighborhood businesses get greater access to capital and assistance with credit, something that we were already
mm-hmm.
doing anyway, even before they announced that. And, you know, they said Sunshine Enterprises is one of those small business opportunity centers. But when he left, he didn't leave a check. So, and it's come to find out that, like, you know, two other organizations received checks and Sunshine Enterprises didn't receive a check. But we were a small business opportunity center, and we were responsible for reporting monthly on the work that we were doing as a small business opportunity center, and we weren't getting paid. And but that didn't discourage me because I know that a lot of times you have to pay your dues in order to get the
okay.
things that you want. And that's true of any entrepreneur, you know, and I look at our organization as being one as an entrepreneur organization itself. And so time went by and we did a great job. And this year an opportunity came to get, for us to get funding. They put out an RFP. They encouraged us to apply. We applied, and we received a $35,000 grant from the city this year to operate our Small Business Opportunity Center. As a result, we were able to bring in another person to help us fund another person.
Wow.
And also it's making us much more efficient at getting some of our clients' loans, and not just Sunshine clients, but anyone who is looking for a loan for their small business can come into the Small Business Opportunity Center here at Sunshine, and they can get assistance, whether it's putting together the loan package, getting in contact with a bank, determining how much money they need, helping with cash flow projections, and also assistance with credit. If there are some issues on their credit report, we can assist there. So it's a full-service center that helps a lot of the small business owners get greater access to capital and much quicker. And right now we have about 10 people and on our list who we're working with to get loans, and those loans range
mm-hmm.
anywhere from $2,500 up to $250,000. So there is no minimum or maximum on the amount of money that we can help people get.
Well, that is awesome. So it sounds to me like you invested, it doesn't sound like you invested a year of time, and I don't think you invested $35,000, or even if you did invest $35,000, you're getting $35,000 back in 1 year, but then look at the future years that you're getting at least $35,000, and it could increase over the years, you know, based on your relationship. So I think I'm hearing one of the lessons learned is, you know, sometimes you have to give a little, sometimes to gain much, and it sounds to me like you're gaining more than you gain.
Oh, certainly. And one of the things that I will say is that And I tell everybody this, even when we were doing, we did our demonstration cohort in Evanston, and I said, you know, even if the city of Evanston does not fund it, because we funded the first one, I said, the city of Evanston does not fund the second one, we're still doing it. And and I think that helped them, help us prove that we're committed to that. And the same thing with the Small Business Opportunity Center. We were going to help people get loans whether the city gave us money or not. The fact that they did helps us expand our program to do more, and that's really the key to it, that you have, and like you said, you have to make some investment in opportunities in order to get a return on investment. And so I look at us, once again, as an organization who teach small businesses how to grow, expand, and become successful, and we have to use those same principles ourselves. And we have to invest in our business, and that's the business of helping people. And when we make those investments, we'll get returns on investment. The grant from the city of Evanston, the grant from the city of Chicago. And these are monies and funds that we never anticipated getting, but they came through us working hard, making that initial investment in what we saw as an opportunity, and then that investment paid a very nice return for us.
Oh, that's great. So this, you know, from a budgeting standpoint, I guess when you have to go before your board, you know, this is almost like a windfall for them. You know, if these revenues were not even anticipated in your budget, and then they show up as a result of the work that
Correct.
You were doing, you know, that's got to be wonderful. Wonderful.
Yes, it is. And, you know, and those are the opportunities we seek. And, you know, I encourage other organizations to do the same thing. It's like sometimes people look at it and say, well, you know, quid pro quo. If I do something, I should get paid to do it. And sometimes the pay and the reward comes down the road. So part of it is you have to be a visionary. You know, not, and I'm not saying do everything for nothing, but you have to make sound investments of time and resources in order to get those returns, because that's what a lot of the funders are looking for.
Right. And I think that's a good way of differentiating yourself because, you know, quite frankly, you know, I'll use North Lawndale as an example, but this is true of many communities. You know, what we do as nonprofits, you know, the service we provide, you know, it's a commodity. You know, there are X number of youth programs, there are X number of social service programs, blah, 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 blah. How do you differentiate yourself? It's usually through relationships. You know, if everybody can do the job equally well.
Yeah, exactly, and I agree. And there, once again, we get back to that concept of you have to think more innovative and you have to think like an entrepreneur. When you start a business or you're in business, the most successful businesses are those who become more innovative in their thought processes. And so if you are just the same old entrepreneurship training program, you're not going to cut the mustard. You're not going to be successful. You're not going to get the funding that's necessary to grow the programs. So the initial thought is that you have to be more innovative in terms of what you're doing, and that can pay off well down the road.
And what I'm hearing from you, it didn't take long.
No, it doesn't. Less than a year. Yes, and that's
exactly what
we saw in both cases.
And it also depends, too, you know, there's a difference, right, between giving free labor and adding value. You know, I think
Correct.
From listening to you, you were adding value as you were delivering a service free of charge.
Correct, exactly. And that is, once again, we get back to the entrepreneurship training, you have to add value to what you do. And customers, clients, funders, when they see that value, they're willing to give you more. And that's the same thing in business. If you add value to a product, and it could cost you very little to add more value to that product, but you can get a lot more for it. And so when I look at the way I approach our programs and the way we operate our organization is that I want to add value at every step of the way. And when that value is added, then funders are more than willing to give us even more money. And we're even seeing that with our largest donor now, and that he sees the value, and now he wants to bring in some of his friends and show them the value that we created and have them invest in our organization so we can even extract even more value out of it.
That's awesome. And I know when you and I talked before, we were talking about scale. And, you know, what I hear of venture capitalists, they don't come to things and just, they don't come to the party just to fund one or two people. They're trying to scale things up. And the fact that they're
correct.
Talking to you suggests to me that something big is coming down the road. So you really have to come to North Lawndale as you go to these different West Side communities.
And one of the things that I will say is that and that's why I brought up as well in the conference, one of the main points that was brought up in the morning session at conference was that we need more small businesses in North Lawndale. We need more support for small businesses in North Lawndale. And so that's some of the things that we do really well here at Sunshine. And certainly we want to bring that model of training and support and even take it further, because we are constantly looking for opportunities to help our entrepreneurs build their business. The other day we had representatives from the University of Chicago here to speak to the entrepreneurs about how to get into their food service area of the University of Chicago. So here we have entrepreneurs who can easily get into the university, get some really nice size contracts and business at the university, and that could be a launch pad for them really expanding their businesses. This weekend, we had, while I was at the conference, we had other entrepreneurs over at Whole Foods Expo and helping them get it, you know, figure out how to get their products into Whole Foods. So there is a lot of great things going on here at Sunshine, and we would certainly love to bring those things to North Lawndale in the west side of Chicago.
Oh, great, great. And one of the biggest barriers to entrepreneurial success that we find is the state of mind. And, you know, and I will even include myself in that from time to time. So I guess I'm going to ask you what your thoughts are. Have you observed that to be true, that a lot of this stuff is all in our mind? Not to say that we're crazy, but it has to do with the way we approach things, our value system, past experiences, and all that other stuff. Do you think it might be a little bit different for folks coming from inner city?
Yes, you know, it really is. You know, one of the things that we're fortunate is that we get entrepreneurs who are inner city, what we call inner city entrepreneurs, and I'll just describe them as African Americans, mainly women. They probably have a few children, you know, not making a lot of money. But we also have, because our program is so strong, we have people, Caucasians, from Hyde Park, you know, participating in the program and calling their friends and saying that you have to be in this program. And what you do is you actually see the difference in mindset of people who had opportunities versus people who didn't have opportunities. One of the great things about it is having people who've had those opportunities in the same room as people who didn't, it makes a much better dynamic and they learn from each other. And so, I see that with the majority of our target market, our clients, is that they're not in the right state of mind. They look at business as being something, if I make a product or if I come up with something, everybody's going to buy it just because it's a product. And what they don't understand is that you have to be mentally prepared, psychologically prepared, professionally prepared. There's so many things that go into it that a lot of the people who come through the program, they have not experienced that. So part of the program and then one of the other modifications I made is that I try to bring a lot of those topics and issues up in some of the classes so we can have lively discussions about, you know, does it really take to become successful? Because if you haven't seen that before, you have totally different mindset on what it takes to become successful. And sometimes you don't even feel that you can become successful. So, you know, I tell people a big part of this job is being a social worker. And years ago I said I wasn't prepared for the social work part of it, but now it's a lot easier. Because, you know, you get to understand people, and thinking about it from a social aspect makes it a lot easier to work with people and to make sure they get the proper training and support. Whereas if you don't think about it and just look at it solely as training to start a business with business principles, you won't be successful. And helping people get to that point of starting a business.
Right, and that's a blessing that we have someone like you. You know, because I have talked to people who are actually doing this work, and, you know, that's one part of it that they either don't like or they just don't do. You know, they will come out and say, I'm not a social worker. There's too much hand-holding.
Right.
But in order to be successful, you know, for you to be successful, it may take some of that, right?
Yeah, exactly. And sometimes I have people sitting in my office and we're not talking about business, but we're talking about the issues they're having at home and or with their children or, you know, financial issues. And so if I say, well, we're just talking about business here, you know, wipe the tears and keep moving, that's not going to help us to be more compassionate, right?
Right.
And empathetic. And then you gain their trust. And then so when you start breaking down those barriers, it's easier to help them build, because now you know the challenges. And it's not just the challenge if I need money to start a business, I need guidance to start a business. Sometimes the challenges are I need a whole lot of extra support to start this business. And, you know, that's what it takes. Is like one time one of our clients, I drove around with her for a greater part of the morning to help her with sales, because she was so shy and she didn't have a lot of confidence. So I said, I'm going to go with you, and I'm going to help you with that confidence. And by the time the afternoon came, she said, I don't need you anymore. Go home. And she went out on sales calls by herself. But it's just those little things from like a social aspect. You know, it's like I can teach. I can say, okay, here's how you make a sale. But you have to take it a step further and say, I'm going to go out there with you, you know, figuratively hold your hand and help you through the process. And so that's when you really gain their trust, but it also helps them build a confidence they didn't have.
So I think what I'm hearing you say is you do mentoring as well on top of all of this.
Yes. It's we have a very extensive program, whether it starts with the classroom work, but there's coaching that we do, there's mentoring that we do, and, you know, all other services that are wrapped with that. Like I said, it's the assistance with credit. You know, a lot of times we just, once again, just sitting down, just having chats with people, helping them, you know, get access to different markets and get to build their network of people who they may not ever had an opportunity to be with. So, yes, it's an extremely comprehensive program. And I have so many success stories as a result.
Okay. And you know what? I realize we are getting close to the end of our show, and I have not even opened it up for questions from our audience. I just want to remind our audience that we're speaking with Shelby Parchman. Shelby is the Director of Programs for Sunshine Enterprises, and he's going to be taking questions. He and I haven't really run through our list, and I don't want to be selfish. I was getting all my needs taken care of, and I forgot about you, our audience, so please forgive me. So I see our, Marcus Tabb. You remember Marcus Tabb from K-Town?
Yes, I remember Marcus Tabb well. He lived right down the street from me.
Yes. He's in our audience. He's in the chat room. I don't know if he has questions or not, but just want to let you know that he is listening. We appreciate it. We also have, I believe, Rochelle Jackson from K-Town. I don't know if you had a chance to meet her on Saturday, but we've got quite a few folks listening on. So I just want to say thank you so much. And while we're waiting for questions to come in, our call-in number is 347-884-8121. Again, that number is 347-884-8121. If you have any questions of Shelby, and while we're waiting for you in the chat room, if you have any questions or waiting for callers, Shelby and I can continue. So we were thinking outside the box. So what are some of the examples that you can share of entrepreneurs thinking outside of the box and how it has helped?
I think the first thing, and I used to do this a lot, and thinking outside, to me, part of it is you have to understand who your customers are. And what I find is a lot of times entrepreneurs don't understand who their customers are and or how to really work with customers and get people to be comfortable with them. So one of the things that I'd say for entrepreneurs to think out the box is to start understanding different cultures, how they interact, what they like, and start, you know, listening to some of that stuff or looking at their experience and some of it. And because it's so much easier, and that's where most people have the problem with this, they fail at sales because they don't know how to do it. And the best way to sell is to have someone become comfortable with you. And so most people just go up there and say, I have a product. But the best way to get a sale is to say, you and I have something in common. Let's talk about that first. Or I understand what you like. Let's talk about that first. Not even thinking about the sale. And at some point, that sale is going to come because people feel more comfortable purchasing from people who they know or who they feel a connection with. And so it's like, and I tell people, you don't have to like the stuff that they like, but just know how to have a conversation about it. And that will open so many doors for you. And a lot of times people don't think about that. We had discussed even from a nonprofit standpoint, thinking outside the box for nonprofits, is that, as we discussed earlier, you have to think more like you're an entrepreneur organization. And so as a nonprofit organization, how do we make investments in, you know, investments in our, with our resources, with our money, to bring in more money? And some of the examples that I gave, we did a free, our first cohort for the Community Business Academy we did in Evanston, we funded it. And so we said, hey, we'll pay for it because we're that confident in what we do. And after that, they loved it. They're paying for the entire year, $150,000. The city of Chicago, we did work. We made an investment in time, resources, but it also paid off. So as we go into looking for funding, thinking outside the box and finding ways to develop relationships with funders, and the best way to develop a relationship with someone is to do something for them for nothing. Even with our largest funder, Jim Perry, who gives us $200,000 a year, the way him and I got to become close friends is that I used to help him for nothing, and the guys were, you know, probably worth about $500 million, and I used to work for him for free. And then one day he said, I want to start paying you. And he said, I want you to go to Sunshine, do some work, and I'll make sure I fund it. And so that's, and, you know, part of the story of how I came to Sunshine is that, you know, I made an investment in time and energy and resources to someone who could actually help down the road. And that investment is paid off into this exciting program we have here on the south side of Chicago. So,
and it's now going to impact the west side. It's already impacting Evanston. And who knows?
Exactly.
The world is
going to take over the world. It was funny because someone came to me one day and they joined the class and they said, the reason I wanted to join the class is because Shelby has this I want to take over the world attitude, and that's the kind of attitude I like. So, but it's really critical to have the great vision and grand plans. And even if you don't get to that point, but it gives you something really to shoot for, you don't sell yourself short.
Yes, yes, yes. So we've got comments and questions from Marcus Tapp. First of all, he wanted to say, yes, you know, you guys grew up on the same block, and he's very proud of you. So that's a wonderful thing.
Thank you, Marcus.
And then his question is, Shelby, what about partnerships? Does your organization partner with two or more people interested in developing businesses, or what's your recommendation?
We certainly look for partnerships, and that's one of the things that has helped us become very successful is that we've partnered with many organizations on the south side of Chicago, and that's really part of my vision for the west side. We're always looking for partners because we know that it takes a community to grow the, you know, to grow what we're doing, to help people grow businesses. And so we're constantly looking for people and organizations who say, hey, here's what we do well. It may be that we have a group of people who who wants to get trained. Well, we have access to a large number of people. We have access to a training center. We have people who can be mentors, who can be coaches. There's so many ways that we can partner, and we're always looking for those because we're a small organization and we can't do it all by ourselves, but having strong partners is something that we're always seeking.
Okay, great. So we've talked a lot about missed opportunities, you know, you and I in our private conversation. And sometimes these opportunities can be right up under our noses, and then other people have taken what other people have perceived as failures or what we might perceive as failures, and then they turn the same situation that we turn our nose up as the lost cause or a failure, and they turn them into success for themselves. And I guess that's what makes them entrepreneurs, right? That separates them from the rest of us.
Yeah.
Can you share some examples?
I think one quickly offhand in terms of a client. Quickly. You know, I'm trying to think. I see so many people. I got one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have one. Here's one where we had a young lady who had an opportunity. She was running a food truck, and she was doing really, she could have done really well in the food truck. And so she was like, it got to the point where she just felt that it was just too much for her. And so she just decided not to do the business anymore. And so, mm-hmm. you know, she's like, I'm just so messed up about this because now I'm a failure. And I was like, well, that's not necessarily true. It's just that you just didn't go into what you were going to be good at. But there's always ways of making, as they say, taking lemons and turning into lemonade. And so what mm-hmm. I did was I worked with her to get the truck back in great running condition. And then what we did was we partnered with another food entrepreneur who said, you know, I'm looking for a food truck. So now instead of running the food truck, she's actually renting out the food truck, earning some cash, and she assisted another entrepreneur and starting a business. So it became a win-win situation for both. And if it wasn't for this quote-unquote failure, you know, one person could have made it, but now we have two people who are actually earning money on the food truck, and one is doing what she wants to do, and that is rent it out and not work so hard. And the other person is building their business because they wanted the food truck and they want to do the hard work.
That is awesome. So before we close out, I want to see if there are any more questions from our chat room or even if anyone wants to call in. The call-in number is 347-884-8121. And we're talking to Shelby Parchman. He's the Director of Programs for Sunshine Enterprises. Okay, so far it does not seem like we have any questions coming in. And, Shelby, I just want to say thank you so much for calling in. Thank you for giving, you know, such sage advice, and it's extremely valuable. And I think I might have told you before that whenever we talk, I always take notes, and I go and use some of that advice. I say that I'm asking for others, and I'll use it for myself.
So sometimes it's hard for me to take my own advice, too. Oh, it's always a pleasure, Valerie. It's always a pleasure being on the show, and looking forward to coming back again and chatting about other things. Next time we'll be chatting about the great things we're doing in North Lawndale.
Yes. I am looking forward to that, and I'm going to hold you to it. But, you know, you've already started working in Lawndale, so it's not a matter of hunting you down. I really appreciate the work that you're doing with our new coalition, the North Lawndale Community Coordinating Council, and you're serving on a couple of committees. You've participated in the conference, and you and Rodney, you know, I'm sure are going to come up with some great ideas for the Economic Development Committee. And, you know, the Housing Committee has some good stuff, too.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
We've come to the end of our show, and I'd like to thank you again for coming on. And before we go, did you have any parting thoughts, any lessons learned, any warnings to folks?
I think I just would like to just reiterate that point of You have to invest in yourself and invest in your organization and invest in opportunities if you want to become a successful and growing and meaningful and impactful organization. And that's what I see. I see that once again, and I tell people, a nonprofit organization is a business, just like a for-profit mm-hmm. business is a business. The revenue streams are different, but at the end of the day, it takes investing in your business, investing resources in two areas where you're going to get a return on your investment. And that's the really important part of becoming a success. And that's how Sunshine Enterprises is becoming so successful in the area of entrepreneurship training, coaching, and development.
Okay, great. So I want to thank our listening audience for listening. This show will be available for download within about an hour. We went over a little bit, and that's because I indulged in trying to find out what I wanted to know. And so forgive me, listening audience, but I still think it was a really good show in spite of myself. And I want you guys to be sure to tune in next week for another episode of Sharing Lessons Learned from Nonprofit Thought Leaders. And until then, take care. All right.
Great.
All right. Bye-bye. Goodbye.